Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. There was a woman who had suffered terribly from severe bleeding for 12 years, even though she'd been treated by many doctors. She'd spent all her money, but instead of getting better, she got worse all the time. She had heard about Jesus, so she came in the crowd behind him, saying to herself, "If I just touch his clothes, I will get well." She touched the cloak and her bleeding stopped at once, and she had the feeling inside herself that she was healed of her trouble. At once Jesus knew that power had gone out of him, so he turned around the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples answered, "You see how the people are crowding you. Why do you ask who touched you?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And the woman realized what had happened to her. So she came, trembling with fear, knelt at his feet, and told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your trouble." While Jesus was saying this, some messengers came from Jairus' house and told him, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" Jesus paid no attention to what they said, but told him, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Then he did not let anyone else go on with him except Peter and James and his brother John. They arrived at Jairus' house, where Jesus saw the confusion and heard all the loud crying and wailing. He went in and said to them, "Why all this confusion? Why are you crying? The child is not dead. She's only sleeping." They started making fun of him, so he put them all out, took the child's father and mother and his three disciples, and went into the room where the child was lying. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I tell you to get up." She got up at once and started walking around. She was 12 years old. When this happened, they were completely amazed. But Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone. And he said, "Give her something to eat." May God help us understand the meanings of these stories.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thanks, Rosemary. So this is where we have been over the last little while and looking at various people that they've met with Jesus along the way. So Zacchaeus, the thief on the cross, woman brought before Jesus last week, caught in adultery. One of the things that we noted was that it was just her and not the man. Look very briefly at the disciples back on Pentecost. Matt was with us a few weekends ago. And today, it's the woman who touches Jesus' garment. And then next week, some similarities to this story, but next week is about a man with leprosy. And then the week after that, we'll look at the parable of the prodigal son. But we'll do that particularly by looking at the story of Les Miserables, is what I want to do as we look at Luke chapter 15. And as I've said, kind of probably near the start of this, that our story is somewhere in there. Those people that we've met, whether it be Zacchaeus, the thief on the cross, whoever it is, our story is there somewhere. And I encourage you, as we spend these next 3 weeks, to continue to reflect upon that. Where does my story connect with each of these? and again with the encounter with God. And today's passage from Mark's Gospel is this story within a story. We heard the end of the story of Jairus' daughter. The start of the story is that Jesus is returned. There's a huge crowd of people that are following him. Jairus is a leader of the synagogue. He's an official there. He's not necessarily a rabbi as such, but he's someone who has a very significant role within the synagogue. And he is a man of influence. He's a man of a strong position within the community. His daughter is critically ill, and he goes to Jesus. There's a lot of similarities, but there's also some differences between these two people. While this is happening, while Jesus is interacting with Jairus, there's a woman who has 12 years. She is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum to what Jairus is. Jairus is someone in the synagogue, a leader there. This woman is someone who has had this illness for 12 years and has not been able to engage with pretty well anyone because of that. So it doesn't only impact her health, it impacts her social standing. It meant that she was unclean. And because of that, she would not have been able to go into the synagogue or the courts around that. And where Jairus runs up to Jesus and kneels at his feet and says, "Would you please come and heal my daughter?" The woman does this, approaches Jesus from behind and very secretly, because all she wants is to touch the tassels on his garment, that will be enough. And she wants to do this very inconspicuously. She is an unknown. Jairus is this person of standing. She is the complete opposite of that. They both have a similar request of Jesus for healing. Her healing is a very public thing. Jairus's is a very secret thing, in a sense. When he gets to Jairus's house, he just takes Peter, James and John and Jairus and his wife into the room. But here, when the woman is healed, it's completely in the public. Completely in the public. Some other interesting little points along the way here that as I mentioned, next week we'll hear, this will be even more so the case next week when we look at the man with leprosy, that that the woman here is seen as impure and unclean. And also, although we won't look at it much today, there's also Jesus, who when he goes to Jairus' place and heals his daughter, she has died. So Jesus is touching a dead body. He's unclean because he does that. And he raises her to life. Because that was one of the issues, of course, with the story of the Good Samaritan, that the Levite and the priest go over there, because if his bloke's dead on the side of the road, they'll become unclean. Okay. There's also mention of fear. That's another common thing here, that the woman approaches Jesus with fear and trembling, and particularly when he calls out, who's touched me? She's really concerned and fearful about what he will say and how we respond. And just as we saw last Sunday, Jesus' beautiful, gentle way of dealing with the woman caught in adultery, it's that same sense of gentleness that Jesus has, but initially She has fear and trembling. And Jesus says to Jairus, when the news comes that his daughter has died, Jesus says, fear not, believe, have faith, be in a state of believing faith, have faith, fear not. The other common ground here is that the description of the length of the woman's illness, the futility of the healers that have tried to help her, and some of the translations talk about doctors. We shouldn't think about doctors in as we think of doctors, you know, but it's more of those who had tried all sorts of things and to heal her, but to no avail. So whether it be her situation or Jairus, who hears the news that his daughter has died, both of their situations are hopeless. Both of their situations are hopeless. Jesus deals with that, and as he always does as he encounters people, is that he brings hope where there is none. More about that shortly. As we look back at this passage with 21st century eyes, it's difficult to appreciate the magnitude of what this woman does. This extraordinary act of courage that she does. But, you know, I thought about this. I thought, well, desperation at times drives courage sometimes. And she was very desperate. Her situation was utterly desperate. And it drives her courage here. Remember, she's unclean, she's impure, there's crowds of people. Everyone is gathering in, such that the disciples say to Jesus, when he says, who touched me? The disciples say, well, fair go, Jesus, just look around you. Everyone is. But Jesus knows that something significant has happened here. She acts in spite of this huge mountain of religious and social taboo. What courage. There were all kind of laws and regulations that meant that impacted her. And, you know, we could look at Leviticus again and just see what this meant for her. But basically it meant that it left her personally, socially, and spiritually cut off. She decides to defy these taboos and to approach Jesus and dare to touch the hem of his cloak. There's a word of hope that we hear in verse 27, where it says she had heard about Jesus. That's where hope comes. And whether it be for us in circumstances that we have, or whether it be about people that we know who might not be into faith in God and Jesus and all that, and we wonder about, well, what is it that we can say to them? Let them hear about Jesus. Okay? This is where her hope starts. She had heard about him. Jairus had heard about Jesus. And this is where their hope begins to rise, that maybe it is in Jesus that something can happen. She had heard about Jesus. Sometimes people come to Jesus as a last resort. This was her last resort, okay? So the woman, Jesus was her last resort, basically. And maybe that was similarly for Jairus, I don't know. But there are those who come to Jesus because they're at the end of their rope, that they've reached their wit's end. And now it's better for folk to come to Jesus to inquire of him before it's the last resort, okay? But if it is, then there's still to be found a refuge. There's still to be found a welcome. that Jesus will never send us or others. You know, the old hymn, "Abide with me." When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, abide with me. That's the story of the woman. Other helpers fail, comforts flee, help of the helpful, abide with me. When Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" she came forward and fell at his feet. And it would be reasonable to assume that those around her in the crowd would have expected Jesus to reprimand her severely. Instead, Jesus affirms her. She had done very well in his eyes. It took great faith for her to transcend these physical, spiritual, and social taboos. And Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Leon Morris, in his commentary, says this is the only place where Jesus calls an individual daughter. And he's not just saying something that came to his head, but this is part of the affirmation that he gives to her. He doesn't say to her, "Woman, your faith, daughter." Oh man, that must have, can you imagine what that did for her? 12 years of being ostracized, recognized as unclean. "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Just as it was for Zacchaeus that we heard back on that first week, son of Abraham, he calls Zacchaeus. See, Jesus, there's an affirmation of who we are in Christ. I want to very briefly just comment on something. This is for a whole, this whole question about healing is for a whole another time, but I do want to make a couple of comments about that here. For she is healed of a chronic illness. Jairus' daughter is raised from death. So what do we do with this? Is this, as we read these passages, is that the expectation that we take with us from this morning? That this will be our story? What might our expectations be? Well, maybe, maybe not. I suspect that our life experiences tell us that it's not always the case that people are healed physically. I think life has told us that and taught us that. But we need to leave room in our faith for this possibility. If that was not the case, we would never pray for anyone. There are two or three people close to me that I pray for regularly that God would heal them of cancer. Either directly by God's Spirit or in conjunction with the medical team that are attending them. I need to leave room for God's healing to be there. And we've heard previously, and I haven't checked this out with Bill, but Bill's told us previously of those 20 years ago when, now you've described it as a miracle, Bill, of your heart being... So at the moment that prayers are being said for Bill's recovery, his heart starts to beat normally again and basically comes back from the dead. In fact, I didn't call it a miracle. The nurses in charge of the cardiac. That's right. Yes. So the nurses in the cardiac ward are running down the hallway saying it's a miracle. Okay? And people here, you and others, were praying. We need to leave space for that to happen. Is it going to happen every time? That's not my experience. I don't know how it works at times, but I know God calls us to pray for people. Okay. Now, there's another time where that conversation will happen in much greater depth than that, but I need to go there a little bit this morning. And also to say, see, because there's people like Joni Erickson, okay, who, you know, back in the 80s and even before that, Joni's story was very much out there. Young age, diving accident, becomes a quadriplegic. Okay, she's now in, I don't know, what, her 70s or something. Person of extraordinary faith. Thriving faith. Or Nick, and I can never remember his last name or pronounce it, Nick doesn't have any arms or legs, but goes around proclaiming the good news of Jesus and telling his story. Someone, again, who has this vital and thriving faith. And people who know the fullness of life that there is in Christ, the fullness of life. So although God does and can heal, maybe there are other things that are happening that become primary for us as we pray for people. Now, it's with some reluctance that I just sort of stop that now and go on to finish out the message. But I think that's where I've got to, that although God does and can heal, that sometimes there are other things that are primary for people, for us, in God's healing of us. This woman is healed, yes. But Jesus also deals with her shame, her humiliation, and brings her into a place of being able to stand upright in her community again, well and full of life. In the face of human hopelessness and isolation, Jesus speaks in what he says and in what he does. He speaks words of wholeness. This is what Jesus always did. And it is in this that I want to say that again we discover that Jesus does the unexpected. He does other than what society and the people expected of him, other than what the world expects. When society says to the woman, "You are unclean, stay away," Jesus calls her daughter. When people say to Jairus, "Your daughter has died, don't bother Jesus anymore," Jesus says, "Fear not, little girl, rise." When the world says death, Jesus says life. When the world gives turmoil and fear, Jesus gives peace. "Go in peace," he says to her. "You are healed of your disease. Go in peace." When the world brings condemnation, Jesus brings salvation. In the face of all of the world's brokenness, in the face of our brokenness, Jesus brings wholeness. In the face, God brings Easter Day. In the face of our lack of deserving God's love, God gives it nevertheless in acts of grace to us. Grace is awakened. In the face of our ability to do anything that could possibly restore our relationship with God, Jesus does it for us. And just as he speaks a word of peace, a word of wholeness, of restoration to this woman, so too God in Christ speaks an extraordinary, unexpected word of peace, of wholeness and restoration to us this day. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.